أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Sermon number 16. We were discussing last week, and we just went through half of the khutbah. Just to recap what I said about the khutbah. As Sharif al-Razi mentions here, this is a khutbah which he addressed people with it after the pledge of allegiance was given to him in Medina. So he says, "Lamma buya fil Medina," when he was given the pledge of allegiance in Medina. And according to Ibn Abil Hadid, this was the first khutbah which Amir al-Mu'mineen addressed by the people after his Khilafah. So the first khutbah after the Khilafah, during the time of the Khilafah, I mentioned before the time of Khilafah, Amir al-Mu'mineen was usually silent, not speak much. At the time of the Prophet he was silent because he was overshadowed by the personality of the Prophet, and he was just an obedient type of help for the Prophet. So this is when Amir al-Mu'mineen started to pour out himself. As I said again, this is a very, very famous khutbah. It is reported a long time before Sharif al-Razi. It is reported by Al-Jahid, Abu Uthman Al-Jahid, the Mu'tazilite Sunni scholar in Bayan al-Tabin, and Jahid died 255, that is the middle of the 3rd century, just the year Imam Hassan al-Askari passed away as well. So the khutbah has been reported long time ago, before Sharif al-Razi. Khulaini has reported the khutbah as well. At-Tusi has reported the khutbah. Of course, Tusi was after Sharif al-Razi. However, Al-Mufid has reported the khutbah as well. So Ibn Qutaybah, who also belongs to the 3rd century, reports the khutbah. So very famous. And as I mentioned, Ibn Abil Hadid mentioned that the khutbah is not reported in full by Sharif al-Razi, because there are expressions in the khutbah which are somehow not agreeable to the taste of many people. However, Abu Uthman al-Jahir has reported the full text of the khutbah, and there are things in it which I don't like to mention as well. And if Sharif al-Razi decided not to mention those things, why should he mention them? And to create some sort of animosity now that the context, the historical context, is actually gone by. Last week I mentioned that the tone of the khutbah is very strong. It seems that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is very angry after coming to power, after all those troubles which went before him for 25 years. And he mentioned that, "I swear by God that everything will be changed. You will be shaken severely. And I will somehow mix, like spooning the pot, I will mix you up. And those who have high positions will go down. Those who have low positions will go up." Also he said, "Beware that your calamity, your problems and troubles, which existed at the time of the Bi'athah of the Prophet, has completely come back. And I have to remedy that as well." Now, last week I mentioned that this was in a very angry mood, very strong khutbah. However, we have to bear in mind that this was as well something which was expected from Amir al-Mu'mineen to do. It was almost a revolution, wasn't it? I mean, people had come from long ways, from far distances, of Muslim land, they have toppled a very expanded type of rulership, which was a type of family, a clan type of rulership. And now they have paid pledge of allegiance to someone who everyone thought is not going to come back after the rule of Umayyad. Of course, all people around Uthman were from Banu Umayyad, mostly because Uthman himself was from Banu Umayyad. And they were, of course, not very, very favorable. Ali, peace be on him, was not very favorable in their eyes. And therefore, no one ever thought that Ali is going to come back one day. It was deemed to be impossible. Now that people have come, they have somehow removed Banu Umayyah from power, they have brought Ali back. They expect something from Ali, certainly. And therefore the khutbah is completely, when we think about the context, it's completely in place. He's addressing those people who have made sacrifice, have come, have voiced their opinions, and now, of course, Ali says, of course, he did not take part in those troubles, but now that he is given pledge of allegiance, people expect from him to change the situation somehow. And he is speaking to their expectations. Yes, this is what I am going to do. And I have completely an agreeable voice with you. Things have gone wrong. The troubles of the time of Ba'athah have come back. And I have to remedy. Now, the first part of the khutbah we discussed, another part of the khutbah which is chosen by Sharif al-Razi and mentioned here after the verse 8. In this part of the khutbah, that mood of political type of speech changes. It is more a type of admonishment. Now the tone comes into a tone of preaching rather than talking politically about the situation and what I'm going to do after I have been given the pledge of allegiance. So he talks about people and how people are categorized into different categories. And some of them have better positions in eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some have lesser, and what people should do now that the situation has changed. So he talks about the type of human shubana min al jannatu wa naru amama. He is distracted from paradise. The human being in this world is distracted from paradise while the fire of hell is ahead of him. Meaning that completely ignorant of the hereafter, what is going to come later on. So he is distracted from paradise and the fire of hell is ahead of him. Despite that, they do not take heed, they do not make any effort. شُغْلَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. He is distracted from paradise. وَالنَّارُ أَمَامَهُ سَاعٍ سَرِيعٌ نَجَى وَطَالِبٌ بَطِيءٌ رَجَى وَمُقَصِّرٌ فِي النَّارِ هَوَى. Now, a very famous categorization of people according to the Quran. He says, you are three groups. Either you make utmost effort and you act quickly and swiftly. Sa'in Sareen. Sa is someone who makes effort and Sareen is quick. So some of you are quick in making effort, are hard working, and these are the ones who are safe. Sa'in Sareen Naya. Wa talibun batiun. And someone who desires hereafter, who believe, but they are slow, they are lazy, they do not act as quickly as they have to. They are bati, they are very slow. Raja, there is a hope for them, and they hope, they will achieve what they want. ومقصر في النار حوى, and the one who falls short cannot actually catch up, and this is the one who falls in the hell. Now these two groups, someone who acts quickly and makes hard effort, someone who has desires but is slow, and someone who falls short and remains behind, are the three categories which are mentioned in different stages of the Quran. In fact, Imam alayhi salam is explaining the Quran in other terms, in a more common customary terms of Arab at that time. Now, where are the places where Quran has talked about these three groups of people? Well, very, of course, understandably in the beginning of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقَعَ لَيْسَ لِوَقَعَتَهَا قَادِرٌ. But then it comes to the categorization of the people. وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. You are figures. فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ, people of the right hand. وَمَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ, people of the left hand. These are the مُقَصَّرُونَ. People of the left hand are the مُقَصَّرُونَ. People of the right hand are طَالِبٌ بَسِيطٌ. Like most of us, we desire, we want, but we are slow. We don't make our desire. And والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون, those who are ahead of others. This is صائم سريع نجا, the one who makes effort and is quick. Now, this is expressed in a more succinct and more explicit way in Surah Al-Fatir, verse number 32 of Surah Al-Fatir. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. It says after we gave the book to Bani Israel, or after we revealed the book to people, then we made this book to be inherited by those servants of us who were chosen. That's the topic. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. So the Prophet inherits the book, the revelation. One Prophet comes after another, the same book, because it's the same religion, it's the same book, it's the same thing. Books are not different. If we see difference in them now, because they are distorted, the previous revelations are distorted. Otherwise, they are one thing. Then, when this book is given as an inheritance to the Prophet, then the people are divided into three groups. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Some of these people wrong themselves. After we give them the revelation, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. Some of them act moderately. طَالِبٌ بَصِيرٌ رَجَعٌ. Yeah, they act moderately. They are not very hardworking, although they desire, they want to have the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't work for it hardly. وَمِنْهُمْ مُحْتَسِبٌ وَمِنْهُمْ صَادِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُهِيمُ. Some of them are those who go ahead of others, precede everyone in khayrat, in doing good. And these are, of course, awliya Allah. They go ahead of others. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينُ. This is a great, great grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very clear grace given to some people. Of course, this grace is affected by our own self. This is one. So, Amirul Mu'minin says, do not... Now, you have to put this khutbah in the context. This is very important. As I mentioned, Ibn Abi al-Hadith says that this khutbah is completely about Imam. So you have to look at it in this way. Now, here Amir al-Mu'minin says, some of you think that you have high position, you are from this clan or that clan, you are Arab, you are, some of you are mullah, some of you are master. Put aside all this. The categorization that I will look at you, the only way that I will look at you is the way that God will look at you. not in any other way. And do not, if anyone wants to think otherwise, they will get disappointed. As some of the companions had become disappointed, well, they did become disappointed after Amir al-Mu'mineen actually expressed his policy. So, how I look at you is like this. Like the Quran looks at you. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at you. صائم سليم نجا وطالب بقيء رجا ومقصر في النار. This is the first. Second thing, my path and my policy in moderation is going through the middle path, which is the path of religion. I am against extremism, whether extremism to the right or extremism to the left. As I said, if you don't put all this khutbah in that context, you lose the meaning. So it says, Al-Yaminu wa Shimadu Madallah. Going right or left is to lose the way. وَالطَّرِيقُ الْوُسْطَى هِيَ الْجَادَ. And the middle path is the path which is the lean path. So do not expect from me to act in extreme ways. I am going to go middle way. Now, you might say, isn't what Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioning in the whole khutbah extremism? He says that I don't regard any of your illusionary type of ranking that you have created for yourself to be correct. So I don't consider them, I'm just going to look at like this. Well, of course, you could look at people like this in an extreme way, and you could look at them like this, have this categorization in a very moderate way. What Amir al-Mu'mineen is mentioning here, that my policies are going to be moderation. I'm not for extremism. So, whether extremism towards left, and if people come to me and say you have to confiscate all the wealth of these people, for example, or extremism to the right, that leave these people because they have their wealth, they have their property, we get taken from them, those unlawful property, they are going to be against you. I'm not going to act in these two extreme ways. So, al-yamin wa shimalu madallah wa tariq al-wusta al-jad. Now, then he explains, this is what the Book of God actually expects from us. عَلَيْهَا بَعْضَ الْكِتَابَ The everlasting book. This is Al-Kitab al-Baqi actually. The everlasting book is based on this moderation, going to the middle path. وَآثَارُ النُّبُوَّةِ. If you go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet, you would see that Prophet actually acted on moderation. So, بَعْضَ الْكِتَابُ وَآثَارُ النُّبُوَّةِ is all based on this Tariq al-Wusta, the middle path. وَمِنْهَا مَنْفَدُ السُنَّةِ. The Sunnah of the Prophet had spread through this moderation that he had. وَإِلَيْهَا مَسِيرُ الْآقِبَةِ. If you want آقِبَةِ, if you want the good ending of your life, again, it would be through moderation, not through excess. Then, he again goes to the path. حَلَكَ مَنَ الدَّعَى وَخَابَ مَنَ الدَّعَى. Those who claimed, wrong claims, they perished. Now again, Ibn Abi al-Hadid, I don't know why he's very keen to mention that he's actually, Amir al-Mu'mineen, criticizing the Khulafa before himself. Although Ibn Abi al-Hadid is a Sunni, but he's very keen to mention that he's criticizing. They claim what did not belong to them, and therefore they perished. حَلَكَ مَنِ الدَّعَى. Whoever claims imamah. Now, he could put it in this way. After I am given the pledge of allegiance, if you don't want to say that this is just an allusion to what went before, he who claims khilafah, now that I am given the pledge of allegiance, they will be destroyed and perished. And it might be an allusion to Talha and Zubayr as well. As we mentioned about Talha and Zubayr, of course they claimed that they were caliphs. And of course all the fuel for it came from Muawiyah. I mentioned before that Muawiyah wrote a letter to Talha saying that you are the rightful caliph and I am taking the pledge of people for you. And at the same time wrote another letter to Zubayr saying exactly the same thing, instigating them to go against Amirul Mu'minin. So it might be in this way that Amirul Mu'minin says that I'm not going to tolerate discourse now that things have come in order. حَلَكَ مَنَزَّعَ وَخَابَ مَنَفْتَرَى. And whoever makes wrong slanders, then they are going to be disappointed. مَنْ أَبْدَى صَفْحَتَهُ لِلْحَقِّ حَلَقَ. Whoever brings your faith, brings their faith against haq, they will perish. وَكَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ جَهْلًا أَلَّا يَعْرِفَ قَدْرَهُ. And it is a sufficient ignorance for a person not to know what is their position and their measure. You can just very abstractly take these sentences. I mean, you can just take these sentences, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ جَهْلًا أَلَّا يَعْرِفَ قَدْرَهُ. That it's a very ignorant for someone who doesn't know their position and say, okay, generally for every human being, this is the case. And that's true. But of course we are talking in the context of a khutbah which has been addressed politically after the Pledge of Allegiance was given to Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam. So certainly he's talking about people who are not knowing their position, where they stand after Amirul Mu'minin has taken power. And he says, it is an enough ignorance for you if you do like this, if you act like this. And then he mentions, if you have taqwa, do not worry about anything. لَا يَحْلِكُ عَلَى التَّقْوَى سَنْخُ عَسْلٍ. سَنْ and عَسْ both mean origin and root. So they are added to each other just to reinforce the expression. So, a root, an origin, which sips from taqwa, which is water with taqwa, is never going to perish. So if you have taqwa, do not worry about anything. And of course we have this concept of taqwa mentioned in the Quran in the same vein. Mustaqeen al-aqibat wal-aqibat lil-mustaqeen. The ending, the good ending is for mustaqeen. The same thing. لا يحلق على التقوى سنخ أسلم. It's a very interesting hadith in Misbah al-Sharia about taqwa, which I would like to mention it here, because when we talk about taqwa generally, but we have to know that taqwa has different types and different degrees. This hadith, which is reported in Misbah al-Sharia, which is a book attributed to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that taqwa ala ثلاثة أوجه. تقوى three faces. One is تقوى بالله. Now تقوى بالله means that the تقوى which cannot be attained except by the help of God. It's impossible for a person to attain this تقوى except by the help of God. And this is ترك الخلاف فضلاً عن الشبهة. And this is to abandon whatever disagrees in the heart with the love of God. Whatever. Not even, he is not mentioning haram, not mentioning shubha, the confused thing, that you don't know whether they are haram or not. Whatever comes in the heart, which is somehow interfering with the love of heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is forbidden for this type of taqwa. And he says, of course, وَهُوَ تَقْوَى خَاسًا خَاسًا. This is the taqwa of the elect, of the elect, of the chosen, of the elite of the chosen one. Not everyone can have this taqwa. This is attained only by the help of Allah. The second type of taqwa is وَتَقْوَى مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعْلَى. And the taqwa appears from God himself. That's from the position of God. From the way we see the position of God and ourselves and compare ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our position as a servant, as a slave, as someone who is created by Him, and as someone who gives our blessings, His blessings to us. So this is as is mentioned in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Whoever fears the position of the Lord, not punishment, position of the Lord, there are gardens, and then وَمِنْ دُونِهَمَا جَنَّةً, and below them are gardens. This is تَقْوَى مِنْ اللَّهِ. And how it appears in action is وَهُوَ تَرْكُ الشُّبُحَانِ فَضْلًا عَنِ الْحَرَامِ. This is to abandon whatever is shubha. You are not sure that they are haram, but your heart tells you that it's not good to do. This is shubha. Shubha is something that is not haram, but your heart tells you that it's not good to do. I mean, we go to some parties, for example, it's not haram, but your heart tells you it's not good for me to be here among you. This is shubha. Now, taqwa min Allah, fearing the position of the Lord, is tarku shubhat, abandoning, fadlan an al haram, let alone being haram, of course. Wa huwa taqwa al khas, this is the taqwa of the elect, elite, or some chosen people, not elite of the chosen people, the chosen. This is taqwa of awliya Allah. وَتَقْوَى مِنْ خَوْفِ النَّارِ وَالْعِقَابِ. The third category of taqwa, the lowest type of taqwa, is to fear the punishment of God, which is usually commonly found among people. وَهُوَ تَرْكُ الْحَرَامِ. And this taqwa is what would somehow prepare people to abandon haram. Now, you see many Muslims that they even do not abandon haram at all, or in many cases. It means that they don't have taqwa at all. Those who have taqwa, they abandon haram. Now, abandoning haram is the lowest grade of taqwa. Then we have two other steps above it. And he says, وَهُوَ تَقْوَى الْعَامِ. Now, so these three grades of taqwa, regardless of which one a person would assume in their life, Amir al-Mu'mini says, anyone which has this taqwa and the roots of any person which is water, which is satiated by taqwa, they would not perish. And this is exactly the meaning of وَالْعَاقِبَةُ الْمُتَّقِينَ, the good ending for مُتَّقِينَ. لَا يَحْلِقُ عَلَى التَّقْوَى سِنْخُ أَصْلٍ وَلَا يَضْمَعُ عَلَيْهَا ذَرْءُ قَوْمٍ. Another very beautiful expression. The harvest of no people would go thirsty with taqwa, if they have taqwa. Taqwa is a type of source which would satiate all fruits of life, outcome of life. فَاسْتَتِرُوا فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. Now, another reproaching or preaching, we don't know which one it is. We have to look into the context, as I said. First of all, stay in your house. Don't come out and make trouble. Because, well, by this we understand that it was a time of trouble. People were coming out, were shouting, were trying to make riots and demonstrations. So Amir al-Mu'min says, أَسْتَتِرُوا فِي hide in your house. Do not try to make trouble because I'm not going to allow this. وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. And the troubles that you had among yourselves. Of course, some of you have come and fought against some others. Try to remedy all the injuries, to cure all the injuries. And try to make peace with yourself. وَالتَّوْبَةُ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ. Of course, anyone who has done wrong before, tawbah is waiting for them. The tawbah is accepted. It's not the case that anyone who has done something wrong, I'm going to punish them. No. Just repent and everything is right. I'm not going to make people, hold people responsible for what they did in the past. وَالتَّوْبَةُ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ. And now, you know, after every revolution, after any such social drastic change, some people start to blame others, some people start to praise themselves. We were the ones who did this, you were the ones who did that. I mean, Imam Rumi said, وَلَا يَحْمَدُ حَامِدٌ إِلَّا رَبَّهُ. No one would praise anyone but the Lord. Anyone who has done something, who has come here from far, far away distances, has helped the situation to calm down or whatever, do not try to say it was me, it was us. Praise your Lord. Because these are the things which would create trouble, of course. وَلَا يَحْمَدُ حَامِلٌ إِلَّا رَبَّهُ. No one should praise but the Lord. وَلَا يَلُمُّ دَائِمٌ إلا ولا يلوم دائم إلا نفسه. And no one should blame but themselves. Of course, not themselves, because many of these people were not blameworthy. But no one should blame but their evil self, because everyone has an evil self which is blameworthy. And if you want to blame each other, again, these troubles and fighting are not going to end. So try to overlook all these things, neglect all these things, and just, if you want to blame, go to yourself, make reform in yourself, in your soul, and blame the evil self which is inside every human body, and try to somehow rectify your own personality rather than blaming others. Well, this was the end of this khutbah. It was a really beautiful khutbah. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful khutbahs put in the historical context of it. I mean, you can really infer lots and lots of information from this khutbah about the situation, about the context in which it was addressed. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala sahib.
Very shortly, just two small questions. You say that Sheikh Mawlana did fight a confirmation of you and other people carrying on with that. Why, when Imam Ali fought his confirmation, I mean, surely if Imam said this is a good thing to mention, and he fought his confirmation, what would you say, or maybe not?
Because the content of the khutbah was lost, and therefore, it was probably not, maybe Sharif al-Razi, so it's not proper to take these things out of the time context, the contextual type of frame, and mentioned after, say, for example, 3-4 century, in an atmosphere which, of course, lots of animosity could have been created by that. However, there is another reason for that, as I mentioned. Sayyid al-Razi in Nahjul Balagha was looking for the most eloquent version of the khutbah. And I think he actually took this eloquence as a proof of authenticity of the khutbah. And therefore, those parts which were not authentic, he never mentioned. Maybe he thought that these are just type of quotation from the part of Rawi, the part of the reporter, and that's why he did not mention that.
And on another point, Sheikh, you know, before you started giving these lectures and we've all lost the way. And Kathy, speaking for myself, it washed over us. The language is too high. And when we were speaking to ordinary people, we just assumed that they understood everything he said. Was the language really too high for them?
The language is very clear. Of course, now, after 1400 years, and especially by the translations which are somehow not very eloquent translations, it's difficult to understand them. And mostly we have to understand the context to understand the real meaning of the expression. Although they are very, very eloquent and beautiful, but they are very clear. You can, in Farsi language, you can compare this language with Sa'di's language. Sa'di is a very, very clear speaker, clear writer. I mean, it's very easy to understand him, but it's very difficult to imitate him. No one can imitate the style. Although everyone, when they read it, they say, well, this is a very easy language, very beautifully put together. So, many of these khutbahs are like that. Although they are very clear, no one can imitate. Very difficult in terms of eloquence. No, because he has wrote to them, does not speak about this to anyone. But he was cleverer than that. He had written to them that you will spoil things if you speak about this to anyone. So, the way he was thinking that he is using Talha for his cause, and Talha was thinking that he is using the way for his cause. And both were thinking that they were using Muawiyah for their cause, not knowing that Muawiyah is using both of them for his own cause.
You mentioned that the Imam Ali coming to the Khilafah after Osman was something like a revolution. Nobody expected that he would come. Is there any sort of evidence or any reports that they were planning at the time of Osman or towards the end of the time of Osman, they were planning to put somebody else? Like the previous Khilafah, they had been planned after him, so and so after him, and so on. Were there any plans that they had in mind?
Well, I don't think Uthman was thinking that his Khilafah was coming to an end to think about these issues. The only thing which was happening was the reinforcement of Banu Umayyah's rule from all aspects. I mean, all the rulers were gradually being removed and were replaced by rulers from Banu Umayyah, by emirs from Banu Umayyah being sent and dispatched to different places. And since there was this deepening of the grasp of Banu Umayyah's power, no one would have thought they would be removed, they could be removed. And secondly, of course, Uthman never had come to that point where he would have decided, okay, what should be next? Who should be appointed? How they should be appointed? The whole issue was so so quick, and the type of removal of the power of Uthman was so unexpected that it took everyone by surprise. So I don't think I haven't read anywhere. There was any plan of how the next caliph should be appointed and who should be that caliph. I don't think so.
Is Allah to send love upon them, given that we know they disobeyed the Prophet and all the suffering they caused in every day?
Well, I just didn't hear that question.
I repeat.
Okay?
Can you explain more the word perish? What do you mean?
Perish means they go into the everlasting perdition. In that sense, I don't know what's the point of
everlasting perdition means the everlasting in hell.
Yeah.
Those who oppose love,
those who oppose and claim something which they don't belong. And it might have a type of this worldly meaning as well. They will be destroyed in this world. It might have that as well, that meaning.
Secondly, when Mawali warned people not to come out and make trouble and problems which they endorse, did he help organize police force or armies? Who was going to be?
Well, certainly you can imagine, I mean, in time where these things happen. I mean, it is the most difficult time to keep the order in the society. And about it, it was just like a revolution. And everyone in charge was somehow against Ali. And now these people had come from far away, distant lands, they had removed the caliph and they had paid allegiance to Ali. It was very difficult, actually, and how, of course, Ali managed to keep the order. Some details are written in some books like Al-Gharat or more detailed books about how Amir al-Mu'minin came to Khilafah and what happened after that. But the small details are really lost. You can imagine it would have been a very, very difficult time. The order in the society. Especially if you consider that usually there was not that very organized police force or organized army. It were tribes who decided the power and the power balance of society. So it needs a real research, I think, to find out how all these things happen.
That we know that during the reign of pre-Khulafa, there were certain things that were introduced in the Ibadah. When Imam Ali came, he had a period of 4 years at least. Because we know there are still some practices in the world. Did he not get a chance, or did he not try to get rid of those which were introduced, which he called them Bid'ah?
He had bigger issues to deal with first, and he needed the help of the majority of the people. And of course, majority of the people, they all believed in him. So Amir al-Mu'mineen never wanted to oppose them in these trivial issues and lose the main objective. I mean, there was a type of classification of problems. I mean, if you can imagine, there was bigger problems, bigger issues that had to be addressed, and then these lesser issues. And if someone wants to suddenly come jump into these lesser issues, then the whole aim is lost. Therefore, I mean, I don't think he never wanted to somehow involve himself into these trivial problems. And there are some reports, I don't know how authentic the other historical reports are now, that he wanted to somehow stop Taraweeh at the time, but there was so much uproar that he decided just to leave it as it is. Yeah. Okay.